Coddersill's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, all three judges see this contest 118, 111 in favour of the winner. He is still the
true, all three scoring it 118, 111. That was some performance for Sean Masher-Dodd.
Unanimous and true. Morning to you, Masher.
Yeah, morning, Steve.
Oh, brilliant stuff. What a great, great night for you.
Superb, mate. As Adam Smith said, couldn't have been any better. Big performance and very happy.
How do you feel that the game plan went for yourself? What were you intending to do before the fight?
Well, exactly how the fight went, to be fair, but it just, in without no disrespect, it was just a lot easier than what I sort of anticipated. I'd prepared and trained for a very hard, tough, technical fight, and technical it was. That's what it boiled down to, and that's what we nailed. But it just seemed to be a bit easier than what I actually thought. So, you know, it was just credit to myself and the team in preparation.
You always do that thing in the first round, which worries me, where you're scoping out the opponent, aren't you? And I always sit there thinking, why is he not having a go? But you're actually sort of, are you just sort of mentally getting it together, seeing what he's planning to do?
I'm just sizing him up, mate. Yeah, I'm just having a little look at him and you know, working out the distance. It's like a little computer in my head, sort of analysing the distance and his timing and stuff like that. And I'm just basically just having a little look at him, yeah. So on the scorecards, I think it was, you know, arguably the first two rounds were to him. But I more or less give them to him, if I'd be honest. I'm not really doing much in them rounds anyway. So I give them two rounds. But then from, like round three, and they were probably arguable as well for them to win them rounds. We could have shared the second or that, or the first. But from then onwards, I just felt in full control, and I found it easy enough, to be fair.
I'm not sure he won the second. I think he won the first, but I think you dominated from that point on.
Yeah.
And it turned into your sort of fight, didn't it? I mean, you exposed his weaknesses. Your uppercut was relentless on him.
Yeah. Well, I knew what we'd seen of him in previous fights. The way he crouches over, when we go anywhere near him, he just sort of crouches over, and that was the shot that we knew we'd get off with the uppercut. And I just applied that a couple of times, where his fingers guard, his hands close in, and then I could just whip the left body shot in then. Started there with the left body shot, and it was just all sweet and joyful from then on with me.
Because we've talked about it before, when you face a boxer that's taller than you, you've said before you actually don't mind that. And actually, I didn't realise the size differential till you were sort of in the ring. And he is substantially taller than you, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I know on the tail of the tape when he write these things down and stuff, they're never always correct. They do seem to lie sometimes about, you know, sizes and reach advantages and stuff. But I believe he was about 5'10". I think Appleyard was about 5'10", 5'11". So they're around the same height. But, you know, they've got to punch down, you know what I mean? And that, whereas you're punching up with the legs. And plus they've got like a longer body. So to me, a bigger target. So there's more to hit for me. It's easier to hit that bigger target. So I find it easier, mate, to be honest. Yeah, once you get that range timing and stuff and the distance nailed in, it's easy work. Well, easy enough. But it's hard preparation made to look easy, should I say.
Yeah. And the preparation is everything. And the preparation for going the distance as well, because you do this in a lot of your fights now, but I was looking at you in about the 10th, 11th round, and you look so fresh. Yeah, I mean, you literally look like he hadn't put you through much, but that is down to your preparation and your team behind you as well.
Yeah, 100%, mate. We went down to peak performance, as we do every camp. And because of the stuff Tom has been saying in the build-up, even the lads from Liverpool were right behind me. They know me, and they said, he's out of order, he's disrespectful, he's going to get a shock. And the lads from Liverpool put extra work in for me just to make sure that I was going to win even more. It even gave them the motive to push me even more, and as well as myself. And as a team, we was knuckled down, and we knew what the fight was going to be. He was technically going to try and outbox me. There was no way he was going to try and stand and fight with me. That's my game. So we were prepared to make sure that we can go 12 rounds if we have to, chasing him down, taking, you know, shots on the gloves, making sure our conditioning was in peak condition, and then grind him down and then, you know, take it to him later in the fight. But, you know, because you said there, from round two onwards, we were there. We were where we needed to be. Mm. And I was beating him boxing. I actually outboxed a GB captain boxer, an Olympian.
Remarkable. You should be given so much credit for that. Did he cause you any issues whatsoever? I mean, on the TV commentary, and I was listening to, it was Adam Smith who was doing it. I think he got to about the 10th or the 11th round, and he threw a flurry of punches, and Adam Smith was getting a bit excited. But I was looking at it thinking, well, the punches aren't getting through. They were simply just hitting the side of your gloves.
All day, done, mate, was just shoe-shined my arms and my gloves. He was just polishing me, mate, so I just looked good for the finish.
So he actually didn't feel at any time under any sort of pressure. Is there anything that bothered you or tricked you in the fight?
No, not, mate. The only shot I can say, I think, was in the first round. And in the first round, he caught me with a left uppercut. And I think it grazed my eyes, split my eyebrow, but gave me a little bit of a shiner. And that was the shot they were looking for. And it was the shot that obviously then from that first round, because I sort of just took a little bit of a risk, which what you do, but he caught me with a good shot. And we knew straight away, that's the shot he's probably looking for, is the left uppercut where I crouched low, because he said about me being awkward and stuff. So we were just aware of that from then on, mate, and we just made sure it didn't really land again. He was then trying to swing it into the body. He was trying to take the wind out of my sails, but, you know, from the training, peak performance, mate, me body, it's like a tank.
Yeah. In the ring afterwards, you had your little lad in there, and you're emotional, and obviously you said a few words on the mic after. It was really sort of relevant, and, you know, it sort of resonated the way you were talking about how you read the book, The Secret, started believing in yourself, and that's taken you on this journey. Amazing words, and nice that your son couldn't watch it, and your partner as well was there. Yeah, you must have felt quite emotional about the occasion.
I was, mate, yeah. It was quite nerve-wracking, and you know, it just felt... I looked at them ringside. I got in the ring, done my ring exercise. And then when I was in the ring, I was looking for them, and then I spotted Melissa and the baby.
Oh, Masha, I'm losing you. Just move to the side a bit. Go on.
Sorry, you there, mate?
Yeah, got you there.
Yeah, I got in the ring, and I was looking for them. I spotted them, and once I spotted them and I knew where they were, I could settle them, and I thought, right, I know where they are now. It's, you know, I can settle down, I can, you know, get to work now, get on with it. And that's what we did. And then at the end of the fight, Sky said, do you want to get your little lad in for the photo? And I was like, oh, wow, yeah, please, love to. And, he called them in, he got in. Yeah, he's just gone and got the milk for me now. just come in with the milk. We're going to take him to school now, so it's nice to get up and be able to take him to school. He's got a little book with him now, so we'll have to do the school run now.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant scene. I'll let you go. Just a quick one. Was there any sort of good words to be said between you and Tom at the very end, or did you just part your separate ways?
Well, to be honest, you know, when we got the announcement, Tom just stormed off, and, you know, so I just sort of celebrated with my hands in the air and pulled a big tongue, just to say, like, you know, like, when you're excited. But, when we went back to changing rooms after the fight, we were getting interviewed by iFilm TV, and Tom come in halfway through the interview And he said to me, "You're a great fighter. You're a great boxer. Well done. You deserve the fight." And I just thought, "Off, Tom, thank you so much, mate." And that was all you needed to hear. Was I gained his respect, because that's what it is. Me and him, it's me and him who were fighting. He didn't respect me at all. And I said in the interviews beforehand, hopefully that he will, as well I did say, I said, I know he'll respect me at the end of the fight, guarantee you. And I think that was the respect. He come in and gave me the respect there. So I'm happy with that. And I respect him and I wish him well. I hope he's okay and everything. And we had a little tweet as well after yesterday. So it seems all good, but my hand's always there for him. He knows that.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.